I'm Dan Carell, CEO of the Digital Commerce Alliance, and this is Commerce Code, a bi-weekly digital commerce podcast for leaders in card linking, loyalty and digital marketing, mobile wallets and payments, and financial data. Thanks for joining this running conversation with leaders in the industry. And if you like this podcast, come join us at a Digital Commerce Alliance event. You can learn more at www.digcomall.org. This week, I'm talking with Christian Widholm, the CEO of Blume Credit. Blume Credit's goal is to help everyone from startups to established banks to easily access and furnish accurate credit data. The goal is to support the creation of accessible, unique financial products for everyone. Today, Christian and I are talking about a new product that Blume has developed that makes it easy for consumers to permission access to their payments data in a way that can dramatically improve credit file accuracy and access to credit for those consumers. So stay tuned for a deep dive on innovations in consumer permissioned credit data, a conversation with Christian Widholm of Blume Credit. This episode of Commerce Code is brought to you by Agio, a global leader in engagement platform technologies that create compelling experiences, foster people connections, and cultivate brand advocates worldwide. With more than 45 years of experience, Agio empowers Fortune 500 companies to deliver extraordinary brand experiences for employees, consumers, channel partners, subscribers, and members. Fueled by a holistic engagement ecosystem across workplace engagement, experiential, social activation, customer loyalty, and digital asset experiences, Agio's mission is inspiring people to achieve more, one interaction, transaction, and experience at a time. Agio. Engagement unleashed. Christian, thanks for joining us again on Commerce Code. It's great to have you back. So, Blume Credit just won Finovate San Francisco. 60 companies presented. You got the most votes, I understand. And I do want to hear about all that, and particularly the new product, the new stuff that you kind of presented there. But I watched a video of your presentation, and you cannot miss the hat. Please describe the hat that you were wearing then and are wearing now for our listening audience. And whose idea was that?
Yeah, so the hat is a hot topic of conversation. It is a white hat with big block letters that say Blume.
Like 314 point font, just to be clear.
You're probably right. Yeah, so this is my idea maybe, I don't know, about a year ago or so when, you know, we go to conferences and whatnot, and there's always so many people at conferences and you want to be able to kind of stand out so that you can, you know, people can find you and everything else. And so I'm already a big individual at like 6'5", but this hat absolutely helps people identify me when they see me in this white hat with Blume plastered all over it. So it's an interesting billboard as well as a way for me, people to find me, especially at conferences.
To be clear, like what you stumbled upon, which in hindsight, like any great idea, in hindsight seems obvious, is I am 6'5". Perhaps what I should do is put a giant billboard on my forehead that says Blume. And let me tell you, does it work or what?
It absolutely works. It absolutely works. And I decided to wear it on stage and be in kind of full brand mode with it. And it was it worked out well.
And here we are talking about it, you know, weeks later. So I saw, as I said, I watched the video and everything, but I won't attempt to mangle the description of what you were presenting and the new thing that you've developed. But, you know, the banks, the FIs that were there were excited about it. So tell us just basically what it is, and then we want to dig in a little bit.
Yeah. So maybe kind of a quick overview on also the why. Banks and credit unions in particular, they're trying to figure out how they attract their next generation of customer, and not only attract, but also retain them. And at the same time that they're trying to do that, you got 100 million people that live in the United States, which you and I have talked about, I think, a decent amount before, that don't have access to mainstream credit rates or products. About half of them, 50 million, are thin file, no file. The other half have subprime credit. And banks and credit unions have historically, and I always say comfortably, not comfortably engaged this segment of the market, just because, you know, the nature of their credit history or their lack of credit history. And, you know, we're kind of going through and saying, like, why is that? Is there a way that we can actually help unlock this sort of disconnect between banks, credit unions, and this segment of the market to help expand access to affordable credit? So we created a solution that allows consumers to demonstrate creditworthiness through their ongoing and recurring bank transactions coming out of their checking accounts. So think of things like rent, telco, and utilities. And the entire experience is branded and white labeled for our FI partners in particular, so that the customers they already have trust with and new customers they're attracting are going through this within their brand. And it really kind of creates that opportunity, you know, for the bank and the credit union to really kind of have a bridge to a relationship with this demographic. And it helps that demographic really establish credit history, right? And demonstrate creditworthiness through ways that they weren't able to do before. Credit's kind of like the chicken or the egg, right? If you don't have credit, it's tough to get credit. And usually credit's been built by taking out loans or credit products and then making payments. And it doesn't matter whether it's positive repayment or you decide not to pay, it goes to the major credit bureaus and they have all of that data on you. And this is a new opportunity and way for consumers to add on and enrich their credit history and improve their subsequent scores through this type of a product offering.
So I think about the typical consumer. I think I have to have a healthy skepticism about how well I understand the target market here. But I guess what I go to is, as you've said, the typical way that you build credit is through credit products. And the average person on the street doesn't think of it in those words, but they do probably think about it that way. I guess what I'm wondering is, the typical person probably needs some consumer education on, hey, this is possible to do this, right? You've built a channel through which people can build credit through things that are not the conventional ways of building credit that they would have thought of or been told about. And so I guess the question I have is, you know, how aware are people of the need for this? Or is it right? Is this something where consumers are like, hey, I wish there was a way I could get credit for my rent payment? Or as I'm imagining might be more likely, they've just never thought of it before. And then they need to be presented with that opportunity, and then they can sort of get involved. Like, how's this work with getting consumers to do this?
I think that consumers are more empowered than ever to understand what their credit score is with all the services that are provided to them, whether through their financial institution or whether through Credit Karma, rather directly through the major credit bureaus, that there's way more awareness on how you can impact your credit history and your credit score. So I think that we're in an interesting time where these consumers have the ability to kind of really kind of take advantage of this. Now, there's other folks that have actually done similar things, because the major credit bureaus will take these and put them on consumers' credit reports as trade lines. And there's already formats and things like that that are acceptable in order to be able to do it. This is a little bit different because it's consumer permission data specifically. Mean that the consumer is giving permission. It's not like I took out a loan from you and then you're just going to report it back so that the bureaus know if I'm paying it back. This is the consumer saying, yes, take my bank transaction history the last 24 months and take it on an ongoing basis and, you know, assess it for things that might help me build credit. So Experian has actually been in this space a bit where they go direct to the consumer and have the consumer come to Experian.com, register, and then they become users of this product that Experian has called Boost. I mean, you've probably seen commercials on it with like John Cena and Travis Kelce and others that they have debit card products and other things like that. So what we decided to do was, hey, the consumers have more awareness. The bureaus are willing to take this data, but we think that the real delivery mechanism should not be a direct-to-consumer model with a major credit bureau or with a brand that's cross-selling other products and services. This should be something that can come directly from the financial institution that you already work with so that you don't have to leave the walls. And so there's some education that's already been going on by others in the market, and we applaud them for what they've been doing with Experian, with Boost and everything. We just think that it's a much better solution to actually have this be a no-code, white-labeled solution that easily can enable any FI in the country to offer this exact same service, but keep it within their walls.
What's the turnaround time on? So I'm thinking this through, honestly, just myself, which isn't really, in this case, that different from the person on the street, perhaps. Normally, what I think of, hey, imagine advising my kids, right? They're college age. And well, you know, the way that you build credit is over time, you know, you have a credit card, you make the payments, all this kind of stuff. That's the conventional story. And you think of it as, yeah, it's a slow process of you've got whatever score you've got, and if you want it to go up, then you need to do things over time. What's interesting about this, I guess, is what you're doing is flipping a switch that opens up a historical data set that was closed to the credit bureaus before and now it's open. And so how soon does that turn into a different credit score?
So as soon as the actual trade lines are updated with the bureaus, which can take anywhere from 24 to 72 hours. We actually see it sometimes as low as 5 hours, but let's just say to be safe, let's call it 1 to 3 days. the score that's generated will include the information that was now provided to the bureaus as these new trade lines. So if someone gives us 24 months of history and we're able to go and create a trade line out of it and demonstrate that they have been paying that rent to that one provider or telco or utility or whatever, they would basically have that much transaction slash credit history that would be showing up, and it would be effective immediately.
In the world of financial services, that's as close to instant gratification as it's probably going to get these days. And so I'm imagining, Christian, like the typical stage gates. Again, I'm inferring some stuff or whatever, but like the typical person, I think, doesn't walk around thinking, gosh, I really need to get up, you know, 20 point higher on my credit score. There are moments I conjecture slash think it's you're trying to buy a car and get a line of credit for that. You're, you know, getting a mortgage or, you know, there's moments, right? You get turned down for a credit card, whatever. There are moments when you are very focused on it, right? And so I'm wondering if, you know, those are moments when people could be presented with this, hey, do this. Is that the idea, is that in order to get people, I mean, because I'm all for figuring out how to feed the system with better, higher quality data, right? And the question is, how do you get people to kind of consent to it and get on board and say, oh yeah, that would be a good thing for me. Is it at those key moments, or is there a different, am I thinking about this a different way?
Well, no, I mean, that could be in someone's mind in terms of when they're thinking about enrolling, or they just got recently declined for something and now they want to figure out how to take action to correct that. But like, you know, we're a B2B company, but we have a consumer-minded mission of expanding access to affordable credit. And we think that the broader ecosystem, credit data ecosystem, financial services ecosystem, benefits by having more data, more accurate data, different types of data that come in on a consumer so that lenders can use that when assessing credit risk and ultimately lower the cost of credit. So that's really something that's in perpetuity, not something that is like, oh, I'm going to buy a car. Like, we look at this as something that we think everybody, every bank, every credit union is just going to do and offer to their deposit base over time, because it enriches the credit history on the consumer for lending decisions. It helps consumers get more access to credit, said yes to more often, and also, you know, get better pricing. So over the long run, it really is something that is just perpetual.
Got it. Yeah. I couldn't cheerlead more the importance of high quality data into the system. The extended play version that I'll spare you is that, you know, nothing will end literally, you know, civilization or an economy faster than, you know, if you've got a lack of trust due to non-trustworthy information, basically the whole thing is going to collapse. And so I actually think that, you know, what you guys are working on has a lot to do with how fundamentally successful, I don't know, civilization and the economy can be, which is terrific. And it's also too, you've identified to me an area that, you know, it's a great example of like, people don't realize how much better it could be. It could be a lot better. The data could be a lot better than it is.
100%. I mean, the existing data can be a lot better. That's already being reported to the bureaus. There's already, we've talked about this in the past, right? There's already errors on credit reports that negatively impact the consumer's credit score. There's about 12 million consumers that have errors that are bad enough that is negatively impacting their credit score. That's on traditional credit products. And that's not counting probably 100 million people that actually just have an error. The 12 million have errors that are bad enough that's actually negatively impacting their credit score and potentially causing them harm where they can't get access to credit. Now, you've got the ability to, one, figure out how you solve that problem, right? Make sure that any data that's going in is as accurate as possible, which is something that we help with our platform. But now you got the ability to actually bring in alternative or non-traditional data, in this case, in the form of bank transactions. And if you think about it, that we've had this convergence going on over the last decade of traditional credit data meeting with non-traditional credit data. You think about the rise of the aggregators, like the Plaids, the Finicities, the MXs, et cetera. Consumers have become more open to providing access to their checking accounts through those types of aggregation tools, and to be able to have that data go to underwriters, lenders, apps that are being used that are using it, et cetera. And there's just a need to make sure that the pipes, the rails that this credit data is being transmitted on can handle both of those different types of data as cleanly, accurately, and reliably as possible. And that's what we built.
Commerce Code is brought to you in part by VantageScore. 8 of the top 10 banks and over 3,400 leading banks and fintechs use VantageScore to predict and manage repayment risk. Learn more about the latest advances in credit scoring and how to grow your lending business by leveraging financial inclusion at VantageScore.com.
So let's talk, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you've built something here that to me, just thinking about your organization, I say, okay, that's natural that you'd build that. Nothing is ever as easy as it looks. And so I just wanted to take a moment to say, like, what was hard about building this solution? Because you guys make it look easy. That's what it is to be a professional. You created a white label solution. You've, you know, it's in your wheelhouse. But like, what was hard about doing this?
The thing that's tricky is the different requirements and the approaches of the credit bureaus, because you have to actually create something that works, right, to be able to go to all three of the credit bureaus. The hard part is really just making sure that you are very buttoned up and make sure that this data is right, right? Because the thing that the bureaus don't want is to have issues with data integrity. And that's rightfully so. It's their business. Their business is data integrity and the fact that all that they have reported is accurate and as accurate as possible. And can also be a good aid in assessing credit risk, right? And that's definitely the biggest challenge is understanding how can I confirm that this is rent or telco utility beyond just simple categorization and have enrichment services that are over the top of it to actually help do that. And to make sure that it's aligning in a way that works for the requirements set forth by the bureaus. Now, luckily, we have deep expertise specifically in this. So for someone that would try to do this on their own, you know, heaven help you, but this is what we do every day. So that typically is the number one thing. How do you just ensure that this is the most accurate, correct data that's going there that's going to help lenders and help consumers without there being any kind of weird biases around the data?
Interesting. And I do, I'm right when I say, though, that this really is in your wheelhouse in terms of what Bloom's mission and history is. It's just applying it in a way that you would need to build, you know, build a tool, right?
Oh, yeah. There's the only difference is that, so we're an API platform, right? And we have bidirectional rails that basically transmit data between the major credit bureaus and then users or senders of that data. So like a user would be, hey, I am pulling credit data because I'm going to make a credit decision on Joe Smith, right? Now, I also have to send back Joe Smith's repayment information because I gave him a loan and now he's starting to pay it back. And now I need to make sure that repayment data gets back to the bureaus. So we have bidirectional rails that are very simple, very powerful, modern, that help enable that in a fraction of the time that historically it would take if you actually did it on your own. So all this is an extension of the sending the data back to the bureaus, right? Specifically for alternative non-traditional data. Again, in this form, it's transactions out of checking accounts, et cetera. So yeah, it's absolutely in line. The only thing that's maybe a little bit different for us historically is that as an API platform, we effectively are plumbing. So there's a UI component to this that's a little bit different, but that is minimal. Everything is literally powered through our existing API infrastructure and platform.
You know, out at Finovate, you got a room full of different organizations. They're pretty excited about what you're doing. This isn't really a question about the Finovate crowd, but I'm using that as an example. You know, you're business to business, you know, and so like, what's the typical organization that's going to be most excited about it? Not by name, but by category, right?
This honestly is applicable to any FI in the country. So there's 10,000 banks and credit unions combined. There's like 5,000 of each in the country. This is literally applicable to all of them. But I think if you want to break it down further, credit unions specifically, it's very much in their wheelhouse. They're all about what can I do to serve my member? How can I actually promote financial inclusion, well-being, those types of things. If you even continue to break it down further, you've got different types of institutions, both banks and credit unions, not just credit unions here, that serve different types of customers, especially the credit unions, because they have something called field of membership. So you could live in a county and qualify to join a credit union, or you could work for a very specific business and qualify to join a credit union. You know, if you look at some that serve high concentrations of immigrants, these are folks that have limited credit history in the country. And there's many opportunities to actually help those customers get access to credit more by actually using this type of a service or a tool. You've got folks that have maybe they're trying to attract younger age demographic, or maybe they're affiliated with a school or something, whatever it is. The 18 to 24 year old demographic is just entering their early borrowing years and their credit years. And most of them don't have deep credit history if they have any credit history at all, right? So there's different types of segments and whatnot that this specifically works well towards. But the average age of a bank customer, credit union member, is like 55 years old. And the average age of the US population, I think, is something like 38. So you think about that disconnect and you think about the fact that, hey, as a manager of a bank or a credit union, I need to figure out how I get my next generation of customers, what am I going to do to start providing them services that speak to them, that they can come and start using me as an institution? Because otherwise, if your average age is 55, most of those people are kind of done with major purchases from a lending perspective and whatnot, or it'll be very limited moving forward. So this is a very interesting tool to, one, provide a good service to your customer that needs it. And also deposits, right? You can acquire, activate, and retain deposits through this because it makes your checking account stickier. And then also loan growth. These are things where you might not have said yes to somebody before, or didn't properly have a way to engage that specific underserved demographic. Now you have something that is a bridge to be able to start getting them into entry-level credit products and then try to forge that into a lifelong relationship with your financial institution.
At the strategic level, that critically important. I can see the temptation not to focus on that because of what I think of as sort of customer capture, right? Your most profitable customers are going to be the older ones, all this kind of stuff. But so that there's your tactic for this quarter is always going to be focused on the customers that you've got that are most profitable. But your strategy for the long run has to be, how do we figure out how to access the true average market over the next decade or 20 years or whatever? While you were talking, I did a quick Google and depressed myself. Christian, you, and again, the viewers can't see this, but you are both handsome and young in the scheme of things, and I'm 100, which they couldn't have known, but it's true. The average, the census helpfully informs us as of June 2023 that the average age in the United States has crept up to 38.9. The median, and I didn't have the time to figure out whether there was there should be a difference between the median and the average. The average should be higher, right? But only a wee bit. Anyway, people like me that are 100, I'm dragging it up. But like I have, for a few years, my maxim has been everybody's younger than me. I'm, for the record, I'm 51. And I'm the person that the banks, the FIs, are tempted to focus on, which is fine, but not to the exclusion of thinking about how do we try and open up this market. And there's a competitive opportunity, I think, to your point, for them to say, hey, we're going to tap into like my kids or, you know, the family that's just come from Nigeria or India or whatever, you know, down the street, and that's really where the future is.
Yeah, and I've been working with banks and credit unions for 15 years. And when I first started, there was 15,000 combined banks and credit unions in the United States. Now, I said it earlier, now there's 10,000 banks and credit unions in the United States. So in 15 years, a third of them, 5,000, have gone away, out of business, acquired, merged, whatever. So credit unions and banks face like this existential threat of who's going to be left standing. And the folks that aren't thinking about the long term are going to end up getting gobbled up, go out of business, not be able to sustain themselves as a financial institution for whatever reason. And the ones that are progressive and really thinking through this are definitely thinking about, what is my long-term plan? How am I finding more customers? How am I actually figuring out how to engage those customers for a lifelong relationship? And you're going to continue to see more consolidation and dwindling numbers of banks and credit unions over the next 10 to 20 years.
Absolutely. Well, look, you said long-term plan, so I'll close with this. You know, what else do you got up your sleeve there, Bloom Credit? Like, what are you excited about? What is it? Does this open the door to some other thing? You know, this to me looked like a very cool solution that I'm not smart enough to be able to imagine, like, what door does this open, or what's next in your kind of in your windshield as you're moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like analytic tools that can kind of be overlaid with this, right? When you start thinking about insights into consumer behavior, as well as just things that lenders might not know about their own population of customers that they have today. We think that there's more things around financial wellness that this kind of ties into, to be able to actually help with things like offers that come from the institution. How do you actually very quickly say, hey, you just went from being not lendable to lendable in 2 days. I want to immediately be able to now actually figure out marketing methods to get you into a credit product. There's a lot of things that are tangential for this particular like product that make a lot of sense. And so I think you'll kind of see us in that realm at some point. Also, just for our traditional business, there is a lot of opportunity, I think, also with this Bloom Plus product to be able to really kind of help actually fuel growth for both of them, especially given the way that our infrastructure was built and conceived to be scalable and to serve all these different types of use cases for credit and credit data, and really kind of help expand what's in the ecosystem and benefit everybody that's in the ecosystem, right? Benefit the consumer, benefit the lender, benefit the bureaus through our technology.
I can't resist saying that's one of the things I love about what you guys are doing is that, you know, there's some businesses that are zero-sum games. I started off 100 minus a few years ago in litigation, and I was doing, you know, lawsuits between two big companies. And you know how much it matters socially whether company A or company B wins in a contract dispute? Nothing. Epsilon of zero. It's doesn't make any difference in a lot of cases who wins. But what you guys are doing is saying, like, look, we're literally just going to supply more accurate, better information into the system so that we'll have more Pareto optimal exchanges, period. Everything will be better. Everything. I love it. That's terrific. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, look, there's no criticism of, because I mean, a great many of us, including myself for much of my career, have worked in and out of sectors or areas or on projects where you kind of say, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter if my client or my side wins. That's okay. But it's a lot of fun to think about what you guys are working on in areas where you say, you know what, everybody's better off if you can get this right. And so grateful for what you guys are doing because it makes the market better and fun to hear about it every so often on Commerce Code. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Commerce Code is sponsored by Pentadata, the all-in-one financial data API. Whether it is bank account data, credit card transaction data, or credit reports and credit scores, Pentadata has it all in one simple and easy-to-use API. With coverage of over 6,000 banks, over 200 million credit files, and 60 million merchants, you can get all the data you need for your apps at pentadatainc.com. Commerce Code is a bi-weekly podcast bringing you conversations with executives who are leading the way in digital commerce. If you like Commerce Code, your company should join the Digital Commerce Alliance and become part of our mission of advancing trade for good through standard setting, industry networking, conferences, and best practice sharing. Check out our website at www.digcomall.org. On behalf of DCA, have a great week.